ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The Game. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick today. Derek Mason here at St. Thomas Sports Park for joint practices between the Tennessee Titans and Seattle Seahawks. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow will join us momentarily. We did see him. He is here.
Yes.
You know, we're going to keep him for a little while, so he just needed to use the restroom. I'm blowing up his spot. He needed to go to the bathroom. That's okay. I get it, man. We get older. We need to go to the bathroom more, presumably.
Exactly.
So, anyway, we're out here at St. Thomas Sports Park for joint practices. You can hear it in the background. Great crowd out here for those who are able to attend. We talked about this yesterday, Derek. Joint practices have replaced preseason games as really the barometer for teams as they're preparing for the regular season. We're seeing starters out here who will otherwise not play in preseason games. These practices are open to the public and the media, but there are certain restrictions about what you can shoot and what you can talk about. So they're allowed, you know, they're going to actually run their coverages and things like that. They're, you know, use their playbook, and we'll get a better look at what these teams will be able to put together on the field come the regular season. Jonathan Hutton is here from Hot Mike and Withrow on Outkick. We will get Jonathan's all thoughts on all things Titans during this training camp and this preseason. Jonathan, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
I got to find your mic. Hold on. Let me see.
Now you got
there
me.
We go.
Yes.
There
yes.
we go.
That's good to be out here, man.
Thanks. Thanks for stopping by. So, from what you've seen so far, what are your early takeaways from the beginning of this joint practice?
Well, I've been trying to move around a little bit and see more of the entire scope of this than just one side. But vast majority of what I've viewed, Adam, is a lot of the Titans' offense against the Seattle defense. I think the Levis has had a good day, spinning it well. Honestly, I think all three quarterbacks have been okay. And I was talking with someone on the sideline, Mace, about this. It's like I want to see a little bit more energy out here.
Yeah.
From both.
It seems like it's
both.
Not as much.
It's a little
tomorrow down.
it's going to pop off.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit hotter tomorrow.
All that being said, I think that the Titans have held their own. I think Seattle's had their moments too. I mean, it's been a good practice where they're working on right now second and third down. Two down drives trying to get the first down going. Pushing the change to the pass game. But again, like, without the ability to tackle to the ground, you know, thud, but that's pretty much it. It's hard to really figure out whether or not a pass would be complete or not.
Yeah. And
Tyrell Dotson, by the way, from Centennial High School, went to Texas A&M, number zero for Seattle. He's one of their few defensive acquisitions.
That's the safety, right?
No, linebacker.
He's a linebacker. Okay,
okay. But he's like a Mark Barron type dude.
Okay.
He's been making some plays out here, and he kind of, I feel like he's a grinder, kind of like Mason Kinsey.
Yes.
Kinsey's been rubbing people the wrong way on special teams. I mean, he's talking a lot of trash, man.
He talks a lot of trash,
and I love it. I love it. Dotson's the same way. He spun Burks around earlier, and it got everybody riled up.
So, Jonathan, as you prepare for the as I watch another long.
I know it's very easy to get distracted.
It's easy to get distracted when they're practicing right out in front of you. But as you prepare for the Titans' regular season, we were talking about what Will Levis will consider a successful season for him.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm not going to look at the stats. I'm not going to look at the record. And I think he has the right mindset when he said that in an interview with CBS Sports. But as I said to Derek, the rest of us, that's what we're looking at. That's how we analyze a player's performance, looking at his numbers, looking at his win-loss record, especially for a quarterback. Rightly or wrongly, wins are a quarterback stat. So what is your, you know, floor and ceiling for Will Levis in his first year as a starter? We have to the caveat, he stays healthy, his top weapons stay healthy, which is a big caveat. But what is your floor and ceiling expectation for Will Levis in year one as a full-time starter?
Well, the floor is where they can't be, and that's still not decided going into the next offseason what he is. He's back next year. I mean, contractually, you want to have the rookie contract. You're going to invest in that. It's not like it's this year or bust for Will Levis. But that's the floor, and that's not where they want to be.
No.
They don't want to be ground level. The worst thing that could happen, again, is it's just very average, and you still don't know. You wish upon a star, right? Mm-hmm. Best case scenario is he takes over as a leader of this football team. And right now it's Big Jeff. Mm-hmm. You agree?
Yeah, I think Jeff is the leader of this team right now, but ultimately it has to be – some of it or the bulk of it has to come from the quarterback.
That comes with like a game-winning drive.
Exactly.
Something that Adam, where he pulls and rallies this team together early in the season, and then they start to really rock and roll.
Similarly to what we saw in the Miami game, right? On Monday Night Football.
Yeah, sure. Yep. That's a great example.
Yeah.
You know, and he's had small moments. Last year's tough for him because he's a rookie. He's you know, it's the Tannehill that's the quarterback whenever they start the season. You know, you've got all these different scenarios and factors. He's known all offseason this is his football team. And, you know, behind the scenes, I think his leadership has certainly taken a big step forward from those that anyone could talk to that are in the building. I want to see that play out on the football field. I want to see him be more than just the guy that can sling it around the yard and has a massive arm, like, can make every throw. I want to see him actually make every throw and step in there and do it. And it's okay to take a profit.
Mm-hmm.
I think they don't want him to just push it to the intermediate to long routes all the time. Take what's there. I think a good example is Rudolph. Rudolph does take what's there, even if it's ahead of behind the chains. On the passing game, I think Levis, a lot of his passes end up going towards past the chains, and that can sometimes put it in harm's way, according to Brian Callahan. They want to try to rein him in a bit, but not to the point where you don't take advantage of his skill set, because the dude has the NFL arm that everybody would want to have on their roster.
Exactly, and that was one of his biggest attributes coming out of college.
Yes.
Big, strong, physical, with a rocket for an arm.
And they've worked on this. Yeah. They worked on it from the – you mentioned the floor to ceiling. They worked on his technique from the feet up this offseason. So they don't want him to be as scattered, I guess, with the base. Mm-hmm. You know, don't have the busy feet. Be confident in what they're doing. Stay in there, and that in turn should help out his accuracy.
Yeah, and then them adding, adding the weapons that they did on offense, in regards to the wide receivers and the running back. We talk with Jonathan Hutton and Withrow, Hot Mike. Check him out. Hut, you and I talked earlier while we were watching the beginning of practice of guys that sort of stuck out.
Yes.
And I mentioned to you one guy, and I think it's going to be a reoccurring theme, at least for camp, is Mason Kinsey. He's a guy amongst the receiving core of big names, but he's been the one guy that has stood out amongst all the big names.
He's consistent,
yeah.
Man.
I like Mason Kinsey.
He's a cockroach. You can't get rid of him.
What do you think? What do you think? What are his chances of truly making this team? Because you said something interesting while we're on the sideline about, you know, him in the old regime compared to him in the new regime now. You know, the old regime was just trying to keep him around. They figured they can kind of put him on practice squad. Nobody would notice.
They can stash him.
Yeah, stash him.
And he's a great this may just be his career.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good. Mm-hmm. It's not great for him. He doesn't want that to be defining.
Exactly.
The practice squad guy. But look, right now it's a numbers game to me. It's tough for me to have Mason Kinsey on the roster based on the numbers at the position currently.
Exactly.
Because you could easily get to five with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine being your fifth. After that, Jaquan Jackson, I think, makes this roster as six. Do you keep seven?
That's a possibility because of the injury factor. Well, the age and health of that position, I think you almost have to keep an extra one just in case.
So do you keep the Kyaris Jackson? Or do you keep Mason Kinsey? Again, Kinsey's going to have every opportunity. This is – a lot's going to change over the next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Injuries will occur.
Yeah.
And that could also play a factor in what they decide to do. But here's the thing. There's no limit now on how many years you're in the league versus how many times you could be on a practice squad. And Kinsey's career history, transaction history, is either Tennessee or New England.
Mm-hmm.
So – I mean, if you're playing the numbers, I know I can get Mason Kinsey back on the practice squad.
Okay.
That's my approach
to it. That's the way that at least the other regime felt. They felt that we can put him on, we can stash him on a practice
and
squad.
He's a great asset.
Yeah.
For the energy he brings to the practice, coaches love that. Mm-hmm. Because you need somebody that's going to be consistently, number one, available.
Mm-hmm.
He can run the route tree. He can play different spots for you on the practice squad, on the show team. But also he can step in and know this offense like the back of his hand. It's great. But the other thing is the energy. He loves to talk a little trash, and that fires up the team in general. You get good work out of that.
And we just saw that, actually, while you two were talking. They ran a rep, Mason Kinsey and Nehemiah Pritchett, the rookie corner for Seattle out of Auburn. They collided during a route. Pritchett pushed Kinsey in the back, and Kinsey was just yapping back to the sideline. Like, that's exactly what you're talking about. On the broadcast, they had a great line after Kinsey made a catch. Death, taxes, and Mason Kinsey trying to make the Titans in August. Like, that's kind of where we are right now, but to your point.
He's a true pro.
Yeah, I mean, you need guys like that on every team in every sport, and those are the types of players who become sort of cult icons with teams.
And that's kind of that is, in a nutshell, is really the league. Mm-hmm. You've got the upper crust of the top 15-20% of the players, right? Mm-hmm. And then the rest bounce around, and they try to latch on, and you're trying to just be one of the 53. But not expendable, but you can be replaced pretty easily if you screw up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get hurt or if you do something stupid off the field, you're replaceable. And you look at the career transactions of a lot of these guys that are out here.
Mm-hmm.
Kinsey's just gone to two organizations.
Just back and forth.
Back and forth. And by far the one that he's been the most is here.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly within the organization, they love the type of the type of practice player he is.
Mm-hmm.
And preseason, he's always he tends to be the one of the big storylines of the preseason. Here we go again with Mason Kinsey, but he hasn't played a big factor in the regular season. The time he's been here, whenever he's been asked to been elevated to the active roster, which he has been a few times.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow joining us here on Willie and D Mace. We'll get back to Hutton on the other side. Adam Vingan, Derek Mace, and ESPN 1025-1063. The game. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Durham. Pre-game at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Adam Vingan, Derek Mason out here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Jonathan Hutton still with us from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. And Jonathan, before you came on, I was reading a quote from Peter Skoronski in the Tennessean talking about life after Derrick Henry. And it is odd to be out here at a Titans practice and not see big number 22 on the field. Plenty of representation in the fans, among the fans of Derrick Henry, and that will continue to be the case for, time memoriam or whatever that phrase is. But point being, Derrick Henry isn't here anymore. We're going to have to see the Titans forge an identity without him. How long do you think realistically it's going to take for us to really know what the post-Derrick Henry Titans identity is?
Well, as far as the run game is concerned, I think they're going to run the football quite a bit in the month of September.
Mm-hmm.
As this offense continues to gel and progress and build. They're still installing. You know, they went from what they did in OTAs, carried over to minicamp, then they brought that back and started they picked up where they left off whenever camp started, and then Callahan continues to add layers to that now. So it's still a work in progress getting the entire playbook in on the practice field. So I think because of that, I see a team that runs the football early in the schedule. If this past weekend was any indication, so far so good in that. That's also a good way to not hide your deficiencies on the offensive line on the right side. But it's a way that you can certainly get a grip on staying ahead of the chains, is if you can run the football well. And they've got two backs that can do very similar things very well. Are they going to be Derrick Henry? No, they're not. They don't have the bell cow. But yeah, I mean, you said you know if not seeing him out here, I'm not even sure, Adam, if we would see him practicing today.
That is
if
true.
He's here.
That is true.
So it's not as jarring yet to me because anytime I'm out here watching practice, for the most part, 22 was doing individual work and then he'd go to the sand pit, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because he was ready to go. They made sure he was ready for the regular season. Point being, they've got all their guys out here as much as possible, especially in the backfield, because they need to get this offense down.
Do you feel that one of those running backs, Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears, I know the plan is to basically rotate them.
Yeah.
But do you think that one will emerge as the primary back over the course of the season? And if you had to guess, which one of those two do you think it would be?
Well, I think early on they're going to use Pollard quite a bit. I think they're legitimately, when you hear 50-50, I think that could easily be the case. Pollard had, last time he was healthy, 50-plus catches in Dallas. Ran the ball well. He ran the ball well this past weekend. Spears, though, is, I think, that's the where the investment's being made.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the veteran Tony Pollard, who I think Carthon's had his eye on for quite some time. Now they've got Spears, and I think Spears is the more dynamic of the two, given just the wear and tear and tread on the tires.
I think he can play that role that Alvin Kamara plays for New Orleans. That can be a Tajay Spears. That can be him, you know, catching balls out of the backfield, putting him in a slot, getting him matched up with a linebacker who isn't as fast as he is. Getting him in, you know, out in space so he can use those moves that we saw this weekend. That's the part that I'm excited about. We knew what we were going to get out of Derrick Henry. It was going to be a battering ram, and by the fourth quarter, you were going to lay down and allow him to just run all over you. I think with Tajay Spears, you get that flash that we haven't had in a very long time. I think the last time they had that flash was with Chris Johnson. A guy that can catch the ball out the backfield and go. He can take a 5-yard pass and make it 85.
Yep.
They haven't had that guy from a dynamic standpoint. Derrick Henry could do it, but it was all screens, really. It wasn't you running a legitimate route.
Yeah, these dudes can run the route.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So
they can line up at the numbers.
Yeah, to me, he can be that. I'm not saying that he's better than Alvin Kamara because I don't think he is at this stage, but he can play that role that Alvin does for New Orleans.
And think of, so we were just talking about wide receiver numbers. Think about what that could factor in if you've got two backs that can do the route.
Exactly.
Tree. So that also factors into how many you want to carry.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. You're right about that.
There. And whoever we're discussing for that final spot, whether it's the sixth or seventh receiver, and it'll be the six receivers at least, right? Or you know the final tight end spot, or who's going to play the role of the third back? Those guys are special teams players,
mm-hmm.
and the real money players. Mm-hmm. We already know who those dudes are.
Yeah,
they're on the field. Yeah. They're starters. They're barely
not playing
practicing.
Special teams. Yeah, they're barely practicing.
Hey, I will say though, the Titans offensive line today, a lot of work. The ones mm-hmm. got a ton of work. Against Seattle. Seattle's rotating a lot of people in defensively, second, third team.
Mm-hmm.
First team O-line got a ton of work, which tells me today and tomorrow are the big days for them to get the reps. I doubt we see them on Saturday.
How are you feeling about the right side of the line? You mentioned Tony Pollard running well on Saturday. He broke off that big run, that 20-plus yard run, to the right side, which was great for Pollard, but also great for the right side of the line to hold up and give him the avenue to do that. What are you feeling about Nicholas Petit-Frere, Dylan Radins, that side of the line?
I mean, those are the two best options for them on the right side. And you're right to mention that run. I mean, it was well blocked. The guards mm-hmm. did a great job on that run, too. Cushenberry as well. Guys, I mean, for what they have, I mean, Petit-Frere and Radins are the two dudes.
Mm.
Can they just be consistent? Can they just, knowing the assignment, knowing the change at the line of scrimmage, blocking, whatever it might be, pass protections, and not last week out here, they were, it was not good. And it's not just one player mm-hmm. on the right side. There were not just moments, but periods mm-hmm. where they were not looking great at all. I thought, all things considered, Saturday was much better than I expected. And I know they're going up against the backups for San Francisco. Yes, but so far, at least in terms of the baby steps that we're discussing here, they passed that test, given the fact that they averaged 4 sacks per game last year in the preseason allowed. And they didn't allow a single sack. There wasn't a penalty. Mm-hmm. I mean, all things considered, that's a check mark for me, given how much volume we've given to the entire topic. Which, and by the way, which is fair, because they've not practiced all that well. Today it looked okay.
Last one for you, Jonathan. We talked about forming the identity of the team, and a lot of that comes from the head coach, Brian Callahan, and Mike Vrabel, polar opposite personalities. You know, they approach the game a different way, not just offensively minded, defensively minded. But one thing that's always fascinating to me is just how a team takes on the personality of its coach, like how he interacts with his players, the kind of demeanor he has on the field. Are you getting a sense of how things might be different under the Brian Callahan regime in terms of the personality of the team as opposed to Mike Vrabel?
I mean, it's I could say this. It's loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can fight and not get kicked out of practice here.
As we saw, what was it, last week early?
Callahan, all he does is talk about having fun. Mm-hmm. He wants guys, if you're going to make a mistake, if you're going to screw up, do it fast. That's his mantra. He wants quick decisions. Be decisive. And don't think as much, right? Just trust in your instinctive ability to play the game. And while Vrabel wanted all of those things, he certainly was more process-oriented than fun-oriented.
Yeah.
And I think this is more about playing the game and letting loose. And, I think that's an offensive-minded approach, especially in how the league is played right now and the coaches around the league.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, thank you for joining us.
Hey, how long before you think we have these televised?
Jared was talking about this yesterday, about NFL Plus doing that. I would love for that to happen, but, you know, I'm sure teams would probably push back.
Coaches are too paranoid, man.
Yeah.
You can show clips of it every now and then, but they don't want you showing the whole practice. Nah.
The league will eventually put them on somewhere.
Yeah, they have to.
No, these are replacing preseason games just because of the importance, and the you're actually getting starters out on the field. But yes, the NFL always knows how to squeeze a couple of pennies out of something. So it's eventually going to happen. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Good to see you.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Practice here wrapping up. You know, we'll hear from Brian Callahan at the podium. We're also expected to be joined by Jarvis Brownlee after practice. Titans rookie cornerback Jarvis Brownlee. 615-737-1025. Adam Vingan in for Willie Donick. Derek Mason, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.